Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing the music has been today. I tell you, I know it just has been special to me today. It's just been a blessing to hear the congregational songs and the two other specials we've heard this morning. It's just prepared my heart to preach the Word of God, and that's what we're looking to do at this time. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews in chapter 12. We're going to be reading verse 14 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and verse 15. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God. As I read, you follow right along with me. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you today, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for all that have come through the doors of this church. God, you know exactly what needs each and every one have here today. I pray, God, that you've already worked through the services to minister to us. But now as we open up the precious word that you have provided for us, I ask, God, that you would empower it. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from thy word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Following peace with all men and holiness. That's what verse 14 reveals to us. Can I tell you that basically that's God's design for Christianity? This New Testament church age, that's what Jesus ushered in. That's the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he established. And that's what he has designed for his believers, his followers, those that have received Jesus as their Savior and have established New Testament churches. It's God's will that we follow peace with all men and holiness. Last week, we preached out of Matthew chapter 18 in verse 21 through 35, where Jesus answers Peter's question of how often he would have them forgive others. Jesus establishing Christianity is establishing the local New Testament church by discipling his apostles. And Peter would ask him, how often would he have them to forgive? He gave a parable and then a statement in verse 35, which he said, to forgive from the heart. And we studied that last week. We preached on that. And understanding that it's not about who we forgive, what we forgive, when we forgive it, or how many times we are asked to forgive, it's about a more Christ-like life. It's a way to live life. And we preach the message, living with the spirit of forgiveness. That's what God would have us to do. That's exactly the type of spirit that Jesus Christ himself portrayed, a spirit of love, grace, and mercy, which it takes love, grace, and mercy to truly forgive from one's heart, and that heart is a spirit. That's how we ought to live. We looked at Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 31, verse 32, where it reveals the hindrances to forgiveness. And the number one thing that was presented is bitterness. Bitterness. And so I'm preaching a part two, if you will, from living with the spirit of forgiveness. And looking here at Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Verse 14, it's the same as what Christ taught in Matthew chapter 18. It's living with a spirit of forgiveness, following peace with all men and holiness. It's important, peace and holiness, and without which no man shall see the Lord, because if you're not saved, you don't have that within you. But if you are saved, you have that within you. You have the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And you have what it takes in order to have this kind of a lifestyle, this kind of a spirit of forgiveness. And then in verse 15, we're going to spend our time here looking and breaking down verse 15 this morning. Verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, even though God's grace has been given, we can still fall short of living a life with a spirit of forgiveness. We can fall short because of a root of bitterness. Now listen, but God wants us to live filled with love, grace, and mercy. And as you have Christ in you, you have that ability to forgive and live a life with a spirit of forgiveness. But it's not automatic. Even though we have the grace that would enable us to do that, we can fail if we allow bitterness to control us. Can I tell you this morning, it is impossible to forgive or follow peace with all men in holiness when filled with a spirit of bitterness. One is of God and one is of the devil. They cannot coexist in the very same heart. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 14, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Spirit of forgiveness is righteousness. A spirit of bitterness is unrighteousness. And what communion hath light with darkness? A spirit of forgiveness is light. A spirit of bitterness is dark. And they have nothing in common. One will force out the other. But we have, if you are saved here this morning, you have the ability to make the choice. You can choose what God would have you to choose and have that grace to be able to show love toward all men, to be able to have the grace toward all things, to be able to have the mercy that is withholding of deserved punishment. We choose to be able to live with the Spirit by choosing the love of Christ as our example and having the grace of God to be able to live it. Or we choose to have bitterness. And when you choose bitterness over forgiveness, then the bitterness takes over and it forces out the spirit or the life of forgiveness. That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful truth that we have right here. We choose. So the idea here, this powerful thing that Satan wants to use in our life that is opposite the will of God, that is darkness compared to light, this idea of bitterness, what is the definition and what does it do to us as we look here in this verse? That idea of bitterness, the definition would be an extreme enmity, grudge, or hatred. That is bitterness. If you have that extreme enmity against somebody, if you have this grudge and you have a desire for revenge, or if you have this hatred within your heart, listen to me, that is the definition of the spirit of bitterness, and that will destroy you. What it does to us is revealed there in that it says, let any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many. Satan uses the devices that work. And I guarantee you, bitterness is something that he uses quite often because it will work if you allow it. Trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The idea of troubling you, it means that it takes away your peace that God wants you to have. The peace that passes all understanding, that comes from God. And you can have that, but not with a spirit of bitterness. Joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what God gives. And you can have that, But it does not come, and you cannot have that if you choose bitterness. Contentment. We can be content with whatever has taken place in our lives. You can have that. That's from God. But you cannot have that if you choose bitterness. The book of Proverbs in chapter 14, let me just read it to you. Write it down. You can go back and study it later. But Proverbs in chapter 14, as you know, in the book of Proverbs, most of the Proverbs are antithetical statements. That means that every verse stands alone and it hits the truth from opposite directions. An antithetical statement. In chapter 14, verse 10, it says, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." That means that you can't have bitterness and joy. If you have bitterness, then you can't have the joy. If you have joy, then you have to remove the bitterness. And so the idea here is, this antithetical statement says that bitterness takes away joy. And if you have this bitterness, then you do not have a spirit of forgiveness. And not only does that trouble you, but it pollutes you. Pollutes. That's what defiled means. Pollutes your heart. Pollutes your mind. It defiles the heart. Can I tell you, a defiled heart can turn to drugs? Because something has happened in your life and you're bitter over that, and before you know it, you've let this bitterness control you. And if you don't have the spirit of forgiveness and you don't have the spirit of Christ in your heart, then listen to me, that spirit of bitterness will lead you to something to try to help. And many times you've already turned your back on what you need to do, and that's forgiveness. And because of the bitterness is controlling you, and you can't get your mind off of it because somebody has hurt you, somebody has done something bad towards you, and that bitterness controls you, and you turn to drugs and alcohol. Or you turn to immorality. Or you turn to some other kind of sin. Even obesity. Somebody that will not turn to drugs and will not turn to alcohol and will not turn to immorality and will not turn to sin, then they just turn to food, which becomes something that Satan can use to destroy your body as well. Bitterness. What it does to us troubles us, and it defiles us. When to watch for this? What happens? How does Satan use this against us? Look what the Bible says about that. "Looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness," look right here, "springing up." It springs up on us. You're not born with it. You're born with an evil, sinful nature, but you're not born with this idea of bitterness controlling you. You choose to turn away from God's plan of forgiveness, a spirit of forgiveness, especially as a believer. You have this inside of you, and you choose to turn away from that, and you turn to this spirit of bitterness. It springs up. It can be the result of anything or person who has failed us. You failed in a business. You failed in something that you thought that you were going to be successful at. You failed in life thinking that, look at where I'm at. It was not how I planned it out. I planned on having one marriage, and now I've already went through two or three. I planned on this. I planned on being able to be financially secure, and now I'm older in life, and I don't have anything. You failed in some kind of thing in your life. You had desires to being the best, and you know we're close. You've result of anything that's failed us, disappointed us, hurt us in some way. You're hurt over that thing. Or maybe it's a person. You had a person who failed you. You had a person that disappointed you. You had a person that hurt you. You see, bitterness can be directed, listen to me, at God. Sometimes Satan brings that into our hearts and we don't even realize that's what it is. We're bitter and there are things that have taken place inside of us because I've yielded to this spirit of bitterness, and Satan is using that, and the one that you're bitter at is God, because why did he allow this? Or you start looking around and you say, well, why is God blessing them and I'm more spiritual than they are? And that proves that you're not, but you think you are. And you look at them and you say, God is blessing them more than he's blessing me. And I've not done that, but look at what's happening to me. And they're doing this and they're getting by with that and whatever it might be. And you look, and before you know it, without even realizing it, this spirit of bitterness has completely filled your heart, because you're looking around and comparing your blessings and what God has done for you, or what he hasn't done for you, and what he has done for somebody else. And it springs up because something or someone has done something that's disappointed you, that's hurt you. Sometimes we even direct that bitterness toward our spouses. If Satan can, he'll get you to direct it toward the one you love the most, your husband. The Bible tells a man not to be bitter against his wife. Sometimes we have unrealistic expectations with our wives, and because our wives do not meet up to that unrealistic expectation, then it causes bitterness, and we're bitter at them for no reason at all, other than you had wrong expectations. And sometimes it happens with the wife, where you're bitter at your husband because you've had unreal expectations of a husband. And before you know it, you're married to somebody that you have this bitterness toward. And when you have bitterness in your heart, it cannot coexist with love, grace, and mercy. That's what you need in order to have forgiveness. Now I'm in a relationship and bitterness is controlling it. Unrealistic expectations most of the time. Other times maybe they have done something that hurt you. Maybe they have done something that disappointed you. But bitterness will spring up in those relationships that we need the most. Parents. Some adults, parents are dead and gone, and they're still bitter because of a parent and what they've done to them. A spirit of forgiveness does not excuse away evil. A spirit of forgiveness, a child that's been abused by a parent, listen to me, forgiveness does not mean that you excuse what that individual did, but you turn the judgment over to God, or you turn the judgment over to the laws of the land, and they ought to pay for the crime that they committed, amen? No matter what that is, forgiveness, living with a spirit of forgiveness is not saying, I am going to be able to condone evil actions and allow this person to get by with something that they've done wrong. No, that's wrong. That's wrong thinking. If you have broken the law, then you deserve to have to pay the penalty for the law that you broke. And one day in God's eyes, and one day in final judgment, everyone will stand before God and give an account for what you have done. But listen to me, if somebody has done something to you, do not allow Satan to continue to have the victory and continue to have the victory as long as you live with bitterness in your heart. Satan will use it against the ones in the relationships that need the most. Bitter toward a parent. Bitter toward a child. You're bitter because your children didn't turn out the way you wanted them to. You're bitter because whatever it might be. But we can ask, the parents can be bitter and have that fill their hearts concerning their own children. Bitterness toward a friend. Because you expected him to do something different than what they did. Bitterness toward a coworker. He took your job. Amen. Promotion. And now every time you go in, you're reminded of that one person at your workplace that stole your job or stole your bonus or whatever it might be, and that bitterness, it just fills your heart. Possibly pastor. That's right, yeah. Satan's going to try to get you to fill your heart with bitterness toward those that you need the most. Can I tell you, in this congregation, as the church has, God brought us together. God plants every member in the body which pleases him. The Bible tells us that. And he gives the pastors, and he calls the pastors to feed the flock of God which are amongst you. Can I tell you what's most important for the Christian is to find that church family that God wants to plant you in, and having a pastor that can preach and teach you, and that you can be able to be filled with the Spirit of God and learn that which God wants you to learn, to be fed. But if you allow a spirit of bitterness because preacher didn't shake your hand, preacher's never been to my house, I've never eaten the preacher's wife's chicken pepperoni. Every time we have a guest preacher, they always mention something about her Italian or chicken pepperoni, you know, and there's always somebody thinking, I've never done that. If you're not careful, he didn't visit me in the hospital. I might have been out of town, or might have been dealing with somebody else, a funeral or something. You don't think about that. You just say, we didn't come to my bedside. And before you know it, you're blinded to all the circumstances, and you just allow this bitterness to spring up. And now when you come to church, because you're so bitter, you're not being fed. Bitterness. Church members. If you have hatred in your heart toward your brother, you don't love God. The Bible says you can't love me and hate your brother. It's impossible. If you love me, listen to me, because your heart is going to be filled with love, grace, and mercy. If you hate your brother, then you have forced that out, and now your heart is filled with bitterness. And you can't love God if your heart's bitter. But it will spring up. It's one of Satan's tools that he uses quite often. And it will pollute. It will destroy. It will trouble. Yeah. How to overcome it. As we close this morning, how to overcome this idea of the spirit of bitterness. It's right there in verse 15. Everything I'm preaching to you is right there. It's all of the Bible. Looking diligently, lest any man fail. If you've allowed a root of bitterness to spring up and trouble you and defile you, it's because you failed. That's if you're saved. Now, for a lost man, listen to me, you cannot forgive the unforgivable, and you cannot love the unlovable, and you cannot live with a spirit of forgiveness. You can't do that because it's not within you. You will not turn to grace, mercy, and love. You won't do that. Now, you might every now and then, and you might have partial peace and partial joy and partial contentment, but you cannot have the peace of God as he wants you to have it. You cannot have the joy that God wants you to have, nor can you have the contentment that God wants you to have, because you don't have God in you. And so you do not have God's grace available to you. But if you are saved, you're a child of God, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you can do whatever it is that God commands you to do. You can live the life that God wants you to live, and he wants you to live a life with a spirit of forgiveness, which includes love, grace, and mercy. And if you don't, it's because you have chosen bitterness over love, grace, and mercy. Meaning that you have failed what it says. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. The reason that I have this is because I failed to grasp the grace of God to help me. God's grace is sufficient. We can have grace to help in our time of need. But at some point, I failed to receive it. Grace is available to enable us to do whatever God commands us to do, including, listen to me, including living with the spirit of forgiveness. Know this, though. It's not necessarily running down everyone and letting them know that I forgive you. Some people believe that. They think, well, I've got to go all the way back to when I was a child and I was disappointed by the parents. So now I've got to go back and ask my parents to forgive me for how they treated me when I was 5 years old. And then I've got to go to every schoolmate that's ever made me, you know, done something bad to me. And so I got to go to every school friend and try to run them down and make sure that I get around and forgive everybody that's ever forgiven me and go to them and reconcile all these things and make sure that I have done what I need to do to reestablish this relationship. That is not what we're saying. That is not what God wants us to do. God wants us to live with a spirit of forgiveness. And when He brings it about, and if there's something that comes around and you have opportunity to reconcile and restore a relationship, then you need to be ready and willing to reconcile and restore a relationship. But listen, the rest of it is just living with the Spirit, forgiving your heart. So if that kindergartner that came over and stole my teddy bear, if 40 years later they come up to me and said, you know, for 40 years I've been living with this that I've done to you. I stole your teddy bear. Would you forgive me? Listen to me. I've already forgiven you. I mean, you bring it up. Maybe I remember it. Maybe I don't. But listen to me. In my heart, hey, I've already forgiven you. And if you want, we can reestablish a relationship. Amen. It's not that we have to run everybody down. It's the idea of living with a spirit of forgiveness. That person might be dead and gone, and yet you're still living with bitterness. And Satan is using that to destroy you. I believe in reconciliation. And I believe in restoring what we can. Maybe never to the same place that we had before. Because even though you forgive, you don't forget. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. And you might not ever be as close to that individual before, but you can still have a relationship of loving one another. Amen. You can. You can. And when you have that spirit of forgiveness, if that is your life, if that is how you choose to live, Satan can't use this bitterness to steal you of your peace and joy and contentment. In closing, Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. I want you to see something here. Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness, no matter how it sprung up, in whatever relationship it is, all bitterness, it's not of God. And it goes on to list a few things that are connected with bitterness. There is the idea of wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. But look what it says. Be put away from you. You have that ability, and only you, to remove that bitterness that you've been living with. No one else can do it for you. But if you know the Savior, you have within you the ability to put it away. I love that. Let it go. Let it go. Why hang on to it? Because when you're hanging on to it, listen to me, you're forcing out, because they can't coexist in your heart. When you're hanging on to it, you're forcing out God's love. You're forcing out God's grace. You're forcing out God's mercy. And you're hanging on to that which is going to do you more damage than anybody else. Let it go. Put it away from you. Because when you take and put this away, listen to me, then love comes back. Grace comes back. Mercy comes back. And now I can live with a spirit, a lifestyle of forgiveness. Let it go. I don't know what it might be. I don't know. I've mentioned many things. But you need to let it go. There's no better time, no better place than right here and right now. Come before the throne of grace and say, God, help me. Help me to look to you. Help me to have this in my heart. Strengthen me to be able to put this away. Let it go. Live with a spirit, a heart, a forgiveness. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Look to God and His grace to overcome the spirit of bitterness. Don't hang on to it. Don't be bitter toward God. Don't be bitter towards your spouse. Don't be bitter towards your parents or anyone else that God wants to work through in your life. Let it go. Father, we bow before you right now. Only you know, God, how you would have used this message to speak to each one that's here. I pray that they would look to you and be strengthened by your Holy Spirit. If that spirit of bitterness is there, to put it away and have it replaced with the very spirit of forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray.